Hello, and welcome to my talk. My name is Misha, and this is a talk written by me without AI. If you require captioning, it's to the left of me, or you can access it using the EMF Talks website. Does everyone who have captioning, who needs captioning in the audience, can you all see it? Okay, yep. There's no one looking horrified at me. So, a bit of a note on terminology. I'm not deaf. My perspective on this comes from having speech difficulties, which now are a lot better than they used to be, but especially when I was younger, I couldn't use the standard phone via talking. To my knowledge, the term TTY is preferred by my deaf friends and from the deaf community literature I've seen. It's preferred over the term TDD, which is telecommunication devices for the deaf. You will probably see a lot of the literature about this referring to TDDs, but out of respect and the wishes of the people that I talk to, I'm going to be referring to them as TTY devices. Also, this talk will talk about autism and ableism and oralism because of the nature of the topic. So obviously, I'm not going to be going too heavily into it, but if it does become upsetting, you're welcome to leave. You don't have to watch it. So, who am I? I was really nervous about writing this slide, so I got my best friend to write it. So, this is who I am, apparently. I really love phones. I always have. I grew up around a lot of phones and just found it really interesting. I care about accessibility and technology and how they intersect. My life as a disabled person would be very different without technology, and we should all be able to use it. And yeah, I hope I'm a good friend. So, what is an alternative phone? Is this an alternative phone? Is this an alternative phone? No, not really. So, alternative phone access is when you can't use the standard procedure of talking verbally or hearing the other person talking to you, and you can't talk back or they can't hear you. You might also need alternative phone access for things like dialing the phone. So, a very common way of using alternative phone access is just asking someone else to make the phone call for you. That counts as alternative phone access, but there's a lot of options, and often they're better options. They're things like text phone, a relay system, or video phone, and that's what this talk is going to focus on. So, why does anyone need alternative phone access? Traditional phones just aren't accessible if you can't hear, if you can't speak in a way that's understood, or if you can't dial. You'd think in 2026 this wouldn't be a big problem, but the amount of services that need phones are more than you might imagine. You'd often need to call a doctor or a bank, and you need to be able to be understood and to understand them. So, how many people can benefit from alternative phone access? So, there's more than 18 million people in the UK that are hard of hearing or deaf. That's about a third of the population that could potentially have difficulty using the traditional phone system. Also, in the UK, 1.9 million children have speech and language difficulties. I was one of these kids and am one of these adults. There's not much research on adults with speech difficulties and differences, but that's more of a research issue. It doesn't mean we don't exist. And there's also 87,000 deaf BSL users in the UK. BSL is its own recognised language. It is a language with its own grammatical system, terminology. It's not just signed English. And people deserve to be able to communicate in their own language and the language that they use with friends, just like the majority of people do when they talk on the phone. So, a common question I get asked when I talk about alternative phones is, why can't someone else just call for you? And for that, I want you to think, you're often using the phone in situations such as emergencies, calling 999, or you're making emergency appointments, or you're doing something with your financial information, and you're talking about things that are very personal. Do you have someone with you 24/7, because you often need to be physically with them for identity verification, who you would completely trust with everything in your life? Like, for instance, as an adult, how do you feel about asking your mum to make an appointment at the STI clinic for you? It's not ideal. So that's why we need these technologies. So I've used alternative phone technologies along with a lot of my friends for everything from calling up tradespeople, an electrician, for calling your landlady, for uni admin, for cancelling and booking exams, and also for things like health services, making doctor's appointments. One of my favourite ones is that where I used to live, the audiology department had a phone line only that you had to ring if your hearing aid or cochlear implant is broken to make an appointment to fix it. Why? just really. This can be an email. Why? But unfortunately, in a world full of admin, people often forget that things like phones aren't as accessible as you might think. Also, we've all needed to ring up the council about something. And yes, that is mostly what people use text phones for, in the UK at least. So why do I personally need alternative access to a phone, you might think? Here I am, standing on stage, giving a presentation. But because of my speech difficulties, I can be really difficult to hear on older phone networks, which was obviously a problem in the past. And also, if there's a lot of background noise, so if I'm taking a call where it's windy, or in a coffee shop, or wherever, it can be quite difficult. Also, a lot of early automated speech recognition systems, such as press 1 to be transferred to the health department, did not understand me. There was then a period where it improved, and I could be understood. And now we have AI. One of the first things an AI speech recognition system does is classify your voice as either voice or background noise. One of the ways it does this is filtering between whether you have a clear start to the sound of your voice. Alas, I don't. And a lot of AI speech recognition just thinks my voice is a rustle in the wind. It's not. So, how did accessible telephony start? With this. Does anyone know what this is? Okay, what is it?
I don't know, but it's real paper and I'm wondering if it types something out.
Yes, so this is a TTY device, a teletype machine, or teletypewriter. It's a method of sending and receiving text characters over telegraph lines. These use a keyboard to send and a printer to receive. In the 1960s, people made modems to interface with them, with the telephone network, and also with computers, so they weren't just using the telegraph technology anymore. So, a bit of history. Now, slight caveat, I have had these discussions mostly with people who don't use spoken English, so therefore I'm not entirely sure on the pronunciation of people's names because I haven't pronounced them verbally very much, so apologies if I pronounce it wrong. So, an American physicist, Robert Weizsäcker, who was deaf, was the first person to use telephony equipment to code and send text messages. He developed a modem for connecting the TTY systems to the phone network, a bit like how we use modems to connect computers to the phone network to do dial-up internet. And he was in the US, and he set up a few of these for things like in public buildings, for things like weather announcements and news. So then further on, Paul and Sally Taylor worked very hard and did a lot of campaigning within deaf communities in the US for TTYs to become more available in deaf clubs and other community spaces. They were really the people that spread the message of the TTY network to people that needed it. So how did TTYs work? So unlike the telegraph system using dots and dashes with Morse code, TTYs, particularly in the early days, used a 5-bit encoding system called Badot encoding. This is faster and more accurate and allowed for easier communication of longer messages than Morse code systems. So this is how Badot encoding works. It's a fun one. If you've learned Morse code, you like Morse code, and you're like, oh, what can I do next? Badot is for you. Also, it's a music genre. I don't think they're related, but it's also very good. You should listen to it. So these early devices that were developed for Wyrecht and Taylor were only capable of half duplex communication. Now, this means that you could only receive an incoming message or send one. If you started sending your next message before you'd received the rest of the other message you were getting, you then would just cut them off. You'd get half your message. This meant that early TTY was a little bit slow, but compared to nothing or writing a letter, it is so much faster and so much more convenient. Later on in the 1970s, portable TTY devices that were battery-powered and more personal were developed. This was a huge change in things because it meant that a lot of people that were deaf or couldn't access the ordinary phone network had smaller, more personal phones. So you don't have to talk about your crush when you're in the middle of a library. Obviously, as technology developed through the 20th century, as the microchip was developed, these new features were added, things like taking voice messages and answering machines, and the cost and size also went down. Famously, the company MyCom in the 70s in California developed a duplex battery-operated TTY. This solved the problem that we had earlier with TTY devices and meant that you could talk and receive messages at the same time. This meant that you weren't as worried about having messages cut off, and it reduced the amount of dead air and made talking to people using TTY a lot less awkward and clumsy and fumbling. So this is an example of a TTY device that was made in the 90s. It looks very 90s. By this point, also, it wasn't just Badot encoding. There were lots of different encoding types. Oh, this is an example of a 90s text phone. It is, in fact, what I used to use. They're great, and they basically made text phones a lot more accessible, and they were just a nice piece of tech. So, if you can't use TTY devices, or you want to talk to someone that's on a standard phone network that uses verbal communication, how do you translate between TTY, written text, and verbal communication? You use some of the last phone operators that exist on the British phone network, which are relay operators. The relay team in the UK, Relay UK, are very lovely. I think they're based in Scotland. You call them up, and they then transcribe verbal communication for you to be able to read it, or they read out your text phone communication. They follow extremely strict privacy standards, and they also explain to people what relay calls are. So, an example that you get at the beginning of a relay call is, "Hello, this is a relay service. I'm a relay operator. The person who you're calling with is either deaf, hard of hearing, or has a speech difficulty, so I'll be helping them communicate. How may I introduce you?" Now, the reason I've included this example is because quite a lot of the time, people hear this, think it's a scam, and hang up. It's not a scam, it is a real service used by quite a lot of people in the UK, and hopefully soon to be used by more people. There was a period in the 90s and 2000s where, because in the US, due to certain licensing, relay calls were free, a lot of scammers would use the relay service to try and scam people, so that is partly how it's got a bit of a bad reputation. But they've done a lot of things over there to change it, and in the UK it was much less of a problem. So if you receive a phone call like this, don't panic. We know you're not used to it. It's okay. We're not going to bite you. So, text phones also use a lot of abbreviations. They're sort of like text speak, but specific for text phones. So, a common one is starting conversations with RYRY. This dates back to the very, very early first TTY machines, because they work mechanically, and the letters R and Y put the most stress on the mechanical system. So, it's a way to test that your TTY machine was working properly. It's also now, in common parlance, used to signal that you're starting a conversation. The next one is GA. This stands for go ahead. You use this when you've said something. So you've asked a question, and you want to indicate that the other person can start typing. So, how are you? Go ahead. And then they can reply. SK, this means stop keying. This is when you've come to the end of a point or you want a break in the conversation. It's usually done to tell the relay operator that there's not going to be any more text afterwards. SKSK, I wish SKSK could be used in normal phone use. SKSK is an indication that you've finished the conversation and you're going to hang up. SKSK gets rid of using the phone and going, goodbye, 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 goodbye. Just SKSK. Please, can we make this a thing across the entire phone network? Please, I am begging you. OR or OPR, depending on how old you are, it's operator relay or operator relay. This is for if you need to ask the relay operator a question or tell them something about how they're reading out or transcribing what you're saying. So you might need to ask the relay operator to please wait until I finish the entire phrase before you transcribe it. Or please can you go a little bit faster? Or if you want them to say something with a particular emphasis, you can use the OR or OPR to indicate that. Four X's. Now, a lot of text phones and TTY systems don't have a delete key because they're based off early typewriters. So if you make a mistake and you want to get rid of a word or a letter, you just put XXXX. This indicates to either the person on the other text phone or the operator that they need to not read out that word or sub it in with whatever you put next. So, that was a long time ago. How have things changed since the days of this text phone in the 90s? So, it was the 2000s, it was the 2010s, what did we do? We developed an app. So, next generation text is something I love to hate. It is an app for mobile phones, Windows, and later macOS. It was designed to turn your mobile phone with its touchscreen into a text phone. It allowed you to use multiple devices as your actual keyboard for your text phone. Say if you have a tablet, but you want to make a call with a text phone, you could connect it. It was great and meant that loads of people didn't have to physically buy or rent expensive physical text phones. It allowed a lot more people to use the TTY system. But it had a lot of downsides. For instance, all of your phones and devices must be connected to the phone with an internet connection, usually a data connection, to make that call. In the early days, we're talking like 2014, 2015, they didn't really support Wi-Fi connections and would try use weird things like Bluetooth. It meant that if your mobile phone is the phone you're using as a text phone, you need both a mobile data connection, very small amounts of data, but a data connection nonetheless, and a standard mobile phone connection on GMS or whatever you're using to use this. And also, the app kind of looked a bit ugly. It's 2014, 2016, 2018. We have nice design. Can we not be just a really clunky gray box? Like, we can do better. And they did, eventually, with the Relay UK. Relay UK is a relay service that's run by BT. It's made of relay operators. They released their own Relay UK app that works with the standard telephone network. The Relay UK app was really great, and it was a much better upgrade from Next Generation Text. And it still worked with the standard phone network that we had. And all in all, it was a lot better. It's not ideal, but we're getting there. Now, in 2022, the phone network in the UK changed from a PSTN network, which uses a control code line separate to the voice line, you to use a voice line, then freaking happened, to connect calls to each other. Then we started to upgrade from that to fiber optic trunk SIP lines. This meant that all the control tones and the tones of what these characters were that were sent by older style text phones have completely broken. I bought this to EMF because that's the only place it works anymore. And I want people to know about the history of TTY before it became just an app that you use. So, there's also another service, which is 55. So, in 2019, after some rather unpleasant incidents you can look up, the police in England and Wales introduced something called the Silent Solution. Tell me you didn't have any deaf and disabled people who knew about history on your marketing team when you called it this. The Silent Solution allows you to call 999 from a mobile phone and press 55 if you can't communicate verbally. You then get asked a series of yes or no questions that you can very easily respond to by pressing the numbers or tapping the phone. However, it's not possible for deaf or hard of hearing people to access this service, so Relay UK runs a very important relay service for all people that need to use it, that might be deaf or hard of hearing, in the UK to connect them to emergency services. They're incredibly skilled with working with the UK's emergency dispatch services, and it links in very well. So, we've come to modern times. We use things like BSL as a primary language. There's services like Sign Video, other services are available, not sponsored, that can use a three-way conversation with an interpreter to talk in BSL and then communicate with someone else that uses spoken English. This works over voice, and so doesn't technically use the phone network in a standard way, but it's primarily how most of the people that use BSL talk to each other using the phone today. So, BSL sign video interpretation can be kind of difficult, especially if you're talking about very specialized technical topics that requires a high level of interpretation and vocabulary. It also requires a very strong and stable internet connection. Yeah, your video breaking down might not be that bad if you're having a spoken conversation, but if you need that video to communicate, then you really need to have a strong connection there. And we've got that now with 5G in a lot of cities, but there's a lot of places where we're not quite up to it. So, this is why the Relay connection and Relay UK is still really important and still used. What about the future? Well, it's a bit uncertain, really. Lots of people say to me, why don't you use AI? Oh, thank God, I'm so glad you've all said that. So, AI doesn't work for a huge range of people. As I said, AI speech recognition often doesn't recognize me as speech, which usually talking over deaf and disabled people is more of a metaphor than this, but Also, it doesn't work if you've got a particularly strong accent. I know a lot of my, I live in Wales, and a lot of my friends with strong regional Welsh accents. AI speech recognition has no clue what they're trying to say. Also, AI is used a lot by scammers to steal personal information, and a lot of people hear AI on the phone and assume it is one of these spam calls. Also, do you want to give a large language model the kind of personal information about your medical history and close family relationships that you might be using this service for? You're going to be using it to talk to doctors, to talk to therapists. I don't want that sort of thing. So, oh God, I'm so sorry about the formatting, but that is my brief introduction to alternative text phone and relay phone. I hope you enjoyed it. Please come and find me later. I'll not be in the Q&A tent right after this because I want to stay for the next talk, but I'd like to say thanks very much for listening, and thank you to my deaf and disabled friends that were very patient when I asked them lots and lots of questions about how they found Relay and what it was like in the past and how it developed. And thank you to my friends at work on the phone network for explaining the ins and outs of the kind of more technical end of things. And thanks very much.